And now, the Street Photography Magazine podcast with your host, Bob Patterson.
Welcome back to the Street Photography Magazine podcast. I'm your host, Bob Patterson, publisher of Street Photography Magazine. And we have two guests today. One who's been with us several times. I think Valerie Jardin. I think you might officially get the name, the Joan Rivers of Street Photography Magazine podcast.
Well, thank you. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah. I think you just bypassed a couple other people. And Gina Williams. Gina's she's a writer and she's a photographer. She might not say it, but she's a damn good photographer. She's up in Portland, Oregon. Gina's written several articles for the magazine. And we got to have dinner together a while back when we were in Portland. And heavily involved in the SIPA Festival. And all kinds of cool stuff. So anyway, welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, glad to have you. You haven't been on here in a while. I know you're on during the pandemic. Ugh, I don't even want to talk about that thing. And the reason they came on, because we can talk about other stuff too, but they just published an ebook. And no, I'm not always promoting books on here, but they did something really cool and creative that I think you want to know about. You know, we talk to a lot of people who do projects on this podcast, and this is one of the most interesting projects I've seen. And correct me if I don't explain this properly, but they did a book with many of Valerie's probably popular, well-known photographs. Even my very favorite is in there. And Gina is a writer. She's a really, really talented writer. So if I get this correctly, Gina, I don't know, did you choose the photographs or?
I did. Okay. Valerie gave me access to her archives. And also I looked through Instagram and chose photos that kind of spoke to my poetry fiction brain. And put them into a folder, and then just over time would do little vignettes for the photo, for the specific photo.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the photography is excellent, and so is your writing. I've always liked your writing. She's like I said, done several articles for our magazine and did some PR stuff for, I'm not even going to mention any of the companies, but, and then you're doing work for other people as well. I think where did I see you were just doing something?
I have a monthly column with Frames magazine.
That's it, Frames. Yeah. And that's a very interesting publication as well. So, why don't you just, how did you guys come up with this idea?
First of all, Gina and I met on one of my workshops many years ago. I can't remember, but that was at least 7 years ago.
2016.
Okay. So, wow. Okay. So 8 years ago, Gina came on a weekend workshop in Paris, and that's how we met. And from that workshop on, she kind of changed a lot of things in her life and started writing, and I'll let her explain that more in details. But and I would say a couple of years later, I had the idea of, because I write and I write teaching moments, and I have several books with the creative vision behind the photograph, where it is a teaching moment, where what did I see, how I approached it, and the whole creative vision behind the photograph. But I already thought that it would be really fun to write fictional stories on street photographs, because they leave room for the imagination, and we all make our own story because we never know what the real story is. And so, because Gina was an or is an accomplished writer, poet. I thought, I wonder what story she would write on a selection of my photographs. And so that project, the idea started many years ago. And she did write a few stories, and I loved them. And then we kind of left it kind of on the back burner for a while. And then a year or so ago, I said, hey, are we ever going to finish this project? And then she kind of restarted and tweaks the original stories, and then started looking through my photographs. She found pictures I didn't remember I had ever published. And then I don't know. I don't even remember how many are in the collection, but about 40 or 50.
Something like that.
And so
we had maybe 70, and then we pulled some out.
So we went for it and decided to put it in an ebook, which got published just before Christmas. And it was a really, really fun project. But I gave her full creative freedom. I didn't impose the picture. She could pick any picture that spoke to her. Obviously, the work for me was already done. So she had the creative work of writing stories and poems on the photographs that she particularly enjoyed.
So when she selected a photo you didn't even remember taking?
No, there were a couple of them. Yeah. I know, I always remembered the picture. Of course, I remember. I always remember where and the moment and everything, but some pictures I didn't even remember posting. You know, I knew I had taken those pictures, but I don't remember posting. So some of the pictures were at least 10 years old. So funny what Google can find, right?
Yeah, really. So Gina, how did any of these vignettes you wrote, did any of them just pop into your head and you wrote it immediately and didn't have to polish it? Or did it take a lot of, you know, cooking?
The way my creative writing brain works is things have to marinate for a while. Like I'll look at a photo, it kind of goes into a folder in my head, and then the story kind of writes itself while I'm going about everyday life. And then I'll realize it's ready, and then I write it out, like, you know, type it out. But I had to start by kind of just viewing the visual, and then over time the stories started to kind of write themselves. But with this particular project, I don't write fiction that often. I'm a poet,
mm-hmm.
which I suppose, you know, there's a lot of fiction in poetry, but there's also a lot of reality in poetry, and this is all fiction. So it was different for me to go all in on the fiction.
Yeah,
but it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy these. I particularly like the first one about the waiters.
Mm.
And someone, I've been to France twice in my life, and didn't realize how, you know, being a server in Europe is really a profession. And I mean, just from like a couple of paragraphs, I learned so much about how I should behave in a restaurant.
Yeah,
next time I go to, not that I misbehave or anything, but that was, I mean, it was very interesting. And then, did you already know this stuff, or did you get advice from Valerie on that?
A little bit, from experiencing Paris with Valerie, going back on my own a few times, meeting people, having some experience with people who live there, things like that. But I did do some research on a lot of the stories for historical reasons and cultural reasons. I did look up a few things for that one just to make sure I was on track.
Yeah, I really like some of your phrasing. For example, I wrote these down. Every gust of wind feels like youth leaving the body. I don't even remember if you remember writing that. Or I want to feel the cold air in my bones until it hurts. Obviously, you don't spend a lot of time in Minnesota. But, you know, I think this could be an excellent exercise for anyone.
I thought about doing a writing workshop with the photographs as prompt.
I think that would be a good idea.
Contemplating. That was Valerie's idea. I like it.
And I think she should, yeah, because it's such a good way to get the imagination going, to have that visual.
What do you think about being able to do this with your own work, since you're so, I mean, you know what happened, you know where you were and what was going on when you took it. Do you think for you, I know you're a very accomplished writer yourself, could you do something like this with your own work, or would you have an easier time with somebody else's?
You mean, you're asking me this?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Valerie, yes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm an educator. Everything I write is going to teach you something. Mm-hmm. So I feel more comfortable writing that than fiction. I'm not a fiction writer. I think that would, I mean, I could write little stories, but I don't know. Yeah, I could try, but I just don't know. It's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a visual storyteller and an educator, and I think my writing really reflects that. So this is really so different from my work. And it's kind of funny because people who know my work are not necessarily the people who respond in the best to this type of ebook, because they said, no, I don't think your work requires a text.
Mm-hmm.
We know, and then but then we ask people who don't know my work but who are writers, and they love that approach. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting. The feedback has been really, really interesting. And I love it. I love the humor in some of them. Some of them completely caught me by surprise.
I
would have never, ever, I mean, being there and seeing the moment, I would have never imagined that. Others, I can see that. Others, there were more, like some of the humor, which is intentional in my photography, and some of them really have this street photography subtle humor. I think the humor in the text was spot on. Those were my favorites, actually.
Those are fun to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, the article titled Purpose, where the photograph is just the guy's feet next to a wall. And Gina wrote the story how he crawled underneath this wall to rescue a little bird.
I love that. I love that because it could totally be the story.
Yeah.
I never even saw the full guy. I only saw his legs, and I took the picture of those legs. So who knows? Maybe that's what he was doing.
I have no idea where that story came from. It just, that's the magic of fiction. It just appears in your mind. And
so do these ideas pop into your head when you're not looking at the photo? Maybe you're driving down the street or you're working in the garden. Yeah.
I typically have the most inspiration when I'm physically active, so gardening or running or walking, hiking, things like that.
Wow. I'd like to take a quick break to thank the Street Photography Magazine subscribers for your support. We couldn't do this without you. You may have noticed that we don't sell advertising or sponsorships in the podcast or inside Street Photography Magazine itself. And that's because we want to be completely objective about the work we publish and the services and gear that we cover. Our only constituent is you, our listeners and readers. So if you like what we're doing, you can support the show by subscribing to Street Photography Magazine. It's only $5 per month, and you can do it by visiting streetphotographymagazine.com/subscribe. And now back to the show. So one of my favorite photos of yours, Valerie, was in the article titled Summer Fling. It was a man and a woman sitting on a bench, and all you can see is her legs.
Mm-hmm.
Very sexy picture.
Very intimate, yeah.
Very intimate. And how did you react, or how did you feel about the story that Gina wrote about that one?
Surprise and admiration, you know, the her style and the story she could come up with. So for me, it was such a discovery. It was like opening a present every time she would send me a couple stories. They were all pretty much a surprise, as well as Resistance. That was another really, and that's a recent photograph taken in Normandy. And then she put the World War II twist to it. Mm-hmm. And that was beautiful because it's right on the beach. And this gentleman is walking away in the wind. It was so well seen. Everyone really was a good surprise to me. We removed a couple of them, that I didn't feel fit as well. And also I wanted, to be careful with, preserving the anonymity. I can't say that word.
Anonymity. That's a tough one.
Thank you. I can't say it in English. Sorry, I always mess it up. And I wrote a book with that word in it. So
easier to write than to say.
I can write it. Fine.
Yeah.
Of some of the subjects, like young children and such. So I had asked Gina to pick photographs that were a little bit more anonymous.
It's a particular challenge with street photography to honor the moment. You know, it's a real person and a real moment in time. And I tried to be really careful not to write anything that would not only not be offensive, but just, I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to honor the people and the moment in each photograph, because it is real life as opposed to something more.
Yeah.
We were really conscious of that, and it was done very with a lot of respect, no matter what.
Very respectful, which is one of your rules when people go on your workshops, right? Respect your subjects.
Yeah, and absolutely, and that's my number one rule in my work too, and in my teaching. Absolutely, respect your subject. If you had a problem, if it was you and you'd have a problem with that picture being published of you, then you should not take it, or at least never publish it. Simple as that. Not a lot of photographers respect that rule, however.
That's true. I see too many every week.
I'm
but
sure
don't get
do.
Any farther than my inbox. So it must have been extremely flattering to see what Gina did with your work.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know Gina well enough. I trusted her too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, I had full control at the end of whether I wanted, you know, to pursue that, or which pictures, which stories I wanted to take out. And we discussed that, but overall, it was done so well that we shortened some. I think some were a bit too long, so we did a little bit of tweaking at the end. But overall, I really am so glad. I'm so glad we finished it. It was a great project. It would be actually fun, and if people read it, to get their feedback, and we have a link actually on the ebook that people can contact us and know if that's something they would like to read more of. I think that would be a great. It would be great to get feedback from a lot of different people, whether they're writers primarily, or photographers, or none of the above.
So what kind of feedback have you gotten so far? Anything that jumps
again,
out at
it's
you?
It's been mostly good. And then some people who are big fans of my work who said, no, your pictures don't need a text. They speak for themselves. And I respect that, you know, that's their opinion. And some people who may have been really familiar with those photographs already and already had made up their stories. But I think that's good, too. That should invite the viewer to make up their own story as well. And so that's been interesting.
So, Gina, could you do that with your own work?
Or
are you
could.
Too close to it?
I think in my own work it would probably come out as poetry.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to write fiction about someone else's work for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think you have to be detached a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately you were there. And so creating fiction out of a moment that you witnessed in real life, it's just another level of creativity. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for the rest of us who are not writers, I think it would be difficult to do, to really just kind of let go and go with it. I know I myself, you know, I evaluate lots of photographs and oftentimes I'll give them a name, but usually it's what I see. You know, left-handed milkman or something like that. But I would never think, well, that left-handed milkman, you know, has a sick horse at home and he's worrying about the horse as he's delivering or whatever.
That's a good one. Can I use that one, Bob?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Next time you see a milkman, probably 99% of the people who listen to this don't know what a milkman is. You guys probably don't either.
I remember.
God. So you guys first met in Paris at one of Valerie's workshops. Is that is that the time you flew through Iceland?
I did.
Then you wound up staying there in the winter time for
I did. It was January. Yeah, I flew into Iceland. My first trip to Europe. I had seen one of Valerie's workshops online, advertised online or something, probably Facebook or Instagram. Instagram was around then. And I really, really wanted to do it. My husband was not interested in it. And so I said, well, off I go. And I went on my own and decided to do a stopover in Iceland in January, which was beautiful. The light that is there, which there isn't much, but the light that they have in the winter is gorgeous light. I highly recommend it. It's quiet. The light is beautiful. And then I went on to Paris. And from there, I was so inspired by the workshop and travel that I have a journalism background, and I had been doing public relations and communications for a nonprofit in Portland. But I had done some freelance writing over the years as well, and I renewed my passport, but I got an international version from the National Writers Union and started freelancing and ended up going back to Europe 3 times that year. And then again in 2017, got involved in the Siena International Photography Awards and Festival through your recommendation, Bob.
Yeah, great festival.
That was in the fall of 2016.
Really?
And ended up, I had a assignment to write a story on Luca Bracali's work. Mm-hmm. He was the master of ceremonies at the time for SIPA. And yeah, all kinds of things transpired after that weekend with Valerie. It's been amazing. And I was just there with her again in this January.
Just never know, you know, when you take a risk, you never know how it's going to turn out.
I went to Photo London in 2017, I believe, and met Sir Don McCullen and Graham Nash at that.
Really?
At that festival. And photography has become such a great way to travel well for me. And by that, I mean not as a tourist, but as it's kind of an anchor point for meeting people. I don't go anywhere anymore without contacting a photographer in whatever town I'm going to.
Yep. Me too.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So this book, any plans to print it?
Maybe in a very small run, but right now, no. We just need to see how it does as an e-version, and then we'll see. Gina has had a few requests for print, and yes, people. I mean, I love print books. I write ebooks. I don't read them. So I'm the first one to say print. I can't stand reading ebooks, but they have their place. And so I think this one would be actually a perfect candidate for a print book because it's just like a little book of poetry in a way.
You can pick up and read.
So, yeah, exactly. And it's not a book like you want to have on your iPhone, like my other ebooks or something that people keep with them because they use them as inspiration or teaching tools. Here, it's more of a little poetry book that you'd pick up, you'd read one story and set it aside. And then 2 days later, you read another story. Yep. So it would be a nice little print book. So who knows? It may become one one day, but we wanted to get it out and do it in an efficient way. So it's a nice little square ebook, and everybody can access it for a very small price. So I think you can do print and ship it around the world for such a low price. So who knows?
Yeah, I understand that. I put it on my iPad. Good. And it looks really good on there. I do read ebooks, although I don't read them on the iPad. But this one, you'd have to because it's got so many nice photographs in it. But I guess you could do it like as an EPUB when you can actually flip the pages like on like on a regular book. But yeah, it looks really good on there, and I just have it on there. And when I want to read one, I just flip to it and scroll through and read the article. Or not the article.
It's not something you'll sit down and read in one sitting.
No, because
they're like separate little chapters, and so they have to you'll have to absorb them, and you'll read them several times. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, definitely. I've already read several of them several times. So what? I definitely want before we go anywhere. I want to let people know where to find it. So why don't you tell, I've got another question here before we go. I know you have to leave, but so where can people find this book?
So it's actually, because I have published several eBooks. It was easier for me to put it in the same eBook publishing platform. So people can find it through my website, at valeriejardin.com or valeriejardinphotography.com, valeriejardin. however, I think Gina has already published the link to that platform in several other places. But it's right now it sits among all my other ebooks, the ones that are free and the ones that are paid, and all the links to all my books. It's in the same page. My online bookstore.
Yeah, we'll have a link to it in the show notes, of course, too. So, and how much is this book?
We priced it at $12, and actually we're giving a $2 discount with the code SPM, Street Photography Magazine, to your readers. It's not much, but it's well worth it. It's worth the $12 investment. So now you can get it for $10.
Yes. Is that code? Is that all caps, upper, or is it?
It doesn't matter. But
doesn't
yes.
matter. Okay, yeah. Good. Want to be sure. You know, as a techno geek, you know, I always have to ask questions like that. That's good. So what else are you up to? I know, Valerie, you always have workshops. They always seem to be booked up. When's your next opening? 2026?
No, actually, I haven't even started planning 2025.
Oh.
Actually, an opening just popped up for Madrid next month. So you never know. People are since the pandemic, people don't book like they used to, or they cancel more. I don't know. People used to never cancel things before the pandemic, and since then, it's been so different. Different behaviors. It's very interesting. However, I'm not an airline, so I operate on a much smaller scale. That's why I always urge people, even if it says full, go on the waiting list, because sometimes I have to go through 10 people on a waiting list to fill one spot. So now I'm off to Madrid next, and then New York, Minneapolis, the Normandy workshop every September, Paris, 2 workshops in October. I just got back from Mexico. So it's a good year so far, and always exciting to see familiar faces, because I have a really high rate of return customers and meet new ones. Yeah.
And your workshops are pretty small, right? How many people do you normally have?
8 to 10.
Okay. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very manageable, nice size. And Gina, what are you up to? What's cooking over up there?
I'm cruising along with my Frames column. That's a monthly column, and it's focused on, it's a digital add-on for subscribers, but it's focused on ways in which photography can be used to make the world a better place and do good. And so that's the focus of that column. It's called Don't Look Away, and focuses on everything from environment to health to social issues. So it's a really fun project that I do every month. And I might be going back to Italy in May. I'm not sure yet. There's a little festival bubbling up through a photographer I know there named Enrico Barbini, and he's talking about doing a festival in his town of Ronciglione, which is near Rome. So I might be going to that. But otherwise, I don't know, poetry, more poetry coming. I have a book that's ready to publish. I just need to find a home for it.
You mean a publisher?
Yes.
Interesting project. Just getting somebody to publish.
Poetry is very slow. So,
okay, I've got one more question for Valerie. It's just burning. This is a burning question. Is what is the only thing you buy that makes you rich? Why do I ask that question? It's written on the wall over your right shoulder.
And you can't see the first line.
Oh, okay. That's
travel.
Travel. Okay. Absolutely.
That.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I agree too.
All right. Well, that's great. And of course, I always ask where you can be found. Valerie already told us about our site, and you're not doing Facebook anymore. I know that.
Instagram. No, only on Instagram, Valerie Jardin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just bailed. I followed your lead, and we didn't close. I turned our Facebook group over to somebody else. But you inspired me to think about that, and that was like 3 years ago, when you stopped doing yours.
Yeah.
And Gina,
I have a website at carpeverbum.net, which is like, seize the word, carpe verbum. I have some photography at carpelumen.com. And I have Instagram at Gina Williams Writes.
Right, with a W.
Right, Writes, yes. Yeah, Gina Williams Writes.
Of course. Okay, well, thank you very much. And I really appreciate you taking the time.
And, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, guys.
Your thoughts about the show go a long way in helping us decide on the guests and the subjects that we include in each episode. So please take a few moments to write a review in Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to stream your podcasts. It helps us know if we're on the right track, and it helps others to find and enjoy the show. The editor of Street Photography Magazine is Ashley Refo, and our audio engineer is Russell Boyd from WeBit Studios, found at webitstudios.co.uk. I'm Bob Patterson, and this is the Street Photography Magazine podcast, a service of Street Photography Magazine.